Hey now, welcome to the City Off Campus podcast with your two favorite hosts, Sammy Sommerfeld and Jack McFarland. Before we get in, this is a Monday that we're recording this, by the way, post Bears playoffs. Before we dive into that, I just want to quickly bring up Good Pods. And, you know, we've talked about it a few podcasts now. If you're in the winter and you're stuck inside, have nothing to listen to, need a good podcast recommendation, go to Good Pods. There are influencers on there. We're on there. Check us out at Sammy Sommerfeld and at Jack McFarland. You can stay up to date on our podcast, and we love to give and get recommendations for other shows. And I would love to see what you guys listen to. I always love some good podcast recommendations, and all the information's on our social platforms, on Instagram, on Twitter, on YouTube, and in the description below. So Jack, let's dive into yesterday's game against New Orleans. You know, we were 2-0 all time versus Breeze and the Saints in the playoffs, and now we're 2-1. I personally, the only good thing I liked about the game was I liked that Jimmy Graham got to walk off his career in New Orleans with a touchdown, or I think it's his end of, you know, the end of his career. But other than that, I'm not too happy.
It sucked that Roquan and Mooney were hurt. I think either of them play and it gives us a lot better chance. I think Mooney makes the offense a little more dynamic. The only big play that the Bears had went through Wims' arms. So when you take that double reverse pitch back, flea flick or whatever the fuck play it was, you take that out of the equation, they really didn't have anything going on offense.
Yeah.
It's for a various reasons. I think one of the things I came away with was the broadcast show that the Bears since week 10 or 11 have led the league in play action percentage with like 41%. That is all dependent on the run game, and they have been running the ball on bad defenses the past 4 weeks. So there's been a false sense of hope and comfort in knowing what they can do and what Mitch can do. So you finally put Mitch against the Saints. Foles had played the Saints earlier this year, took him to OT in a game that was very winnable. So Mitch gets his opportunity. Granted, he's not with Mooney. Mooney is the field stretcher. The O-line is a little better than they were against the Saints earlier in the year. The Bears had absolutely no run game, so they couldn't run any play actions. The Bears were, what were they on rushes? 19 for 48. That's terrible. That's terrible. Yeah. That's.
And they were 1 for 10 on third down while the really Saints bad. Were 11 for 17.
So when you have a team that defensively played out of their mind compared to what they were the past 8 weeks, stand up, show out, make some plays. Granted, the Bears got hosed on that Komet flipping the ball. Everyone knows that was a bad call. The interception that touched the ground for Duke Shelley, another bad break. Bears never really got any breaks, and the margin of error for this game was absolutely slim to none. So I'm not surprised that the Bears lost. I think if the Bears were as healthy as they were for their Jacksonville game, I think that they beat the Saints. But I think going forward, the Bears have a lot of difficult decisions to make. Obviously, today is Monday. The Eagles have just fired Doug Peterson. So a lot of people are taking a step back and saying, hey, should the Bears do that with Nagy? Well, I don't know, because here's my two cents on it. One, Nagy inherited a bad quarterback that was being built around a window for a good defense, a Super Bowl defense. Right. When you build that window and put a lot of money into the defense, you are extremely dependent on that rookie quarterback deal being good, period. You need him to succeed in order for any team success. Bears didn't get that. Mitch was not a success. So Nagy went and tried to crutch that, and he got Foles. I don't know if Foles worked because the O-line didn't work when he was in. So I think the jury is still out on Nick Foles. Going forward, the Bears need to do this. They need to, A, figure out what is their offensive identity. Are they going to run the ball, or are they going to pass it like Nagy wants? Because they ran the ball this year a little more consistently than they ever had in Nagy's tenure. And he had the best rushing year for a single running back in his entire time. excluding Jordan Howard, who was like 40 yards short of 1,000 his first year with the Bears, Nagy's, Montgomery had 1,600, 1,500 yards total offense, scrimmage yards with Nagy. That guy is a workhorse. So, A, you work through him. B, you haven't drafted any of the three premier offensive positions that make the most money in his entire time. They haven't drafted a tackle. So you see Leno and Massey, they're old as hell. Massey's going to get cut. So Leno's they need to draft 31. A tackle. They need to draft a quarterback because, like Nagy and Pace have wanted, they haven't drafted a single fucking quarterback since Mitch. So that doesn't give you the outside chance of hitting on someone. And they haven't drafted a receiver worth a damn. Anthony Miller was a second-round pick who this year had 49 receptions for 485 yards and 2 touchdowns. David Montgomery had 54 receptions for 438 yards and 2 touchdowns. The fact that your starting running back is getting better touches and better efficiency on those touches, not even to mention that Anthony Miller's catch percentage is 65% while Montgomery's is 80%, that just shows that the quality of pick has not been there and this window was ruined. They need to trade Akeem away. They need to trade Kyle away because those guys are making too much money to be on a defense that has no job staying relevant for an offense that can't hold its own water. So they need to figure out what this team's going to look like for the next 5 years. Because the past 5 years, 4 years, whatever you want to call it, since Pace made them average to relevant in 18 to irrelevant, what is the next 5 years going to look like? We have great core pieces on the team still. Eddie Jackson, Jalen Johnson, Roquan, Eddie Goldman, Bilal Nichols, Cole Kmet, 21 years old, by the way. Darnell Mooney, 21 years old. David Montgomery, James Daniels, Cody Whitehair. You have great pieces to work with. They have to do the same thing they did in 2016 and 17 and just clean this fucker out. They have to. They have to clean it out and start anew. Because this window failed. It just failed. Everyone thought that we were going to take a jump last year from 12-4, and we failed and went 8-8. And then we thought, hey, maybe we'll be a little better this year, and we backed our way into the playoffs at 8-8. I don't think Nagy's had a fair shake. I think he needs one more year.
Let me cut you off here.
I think Pace should get promoted to president of football operations and take player personnel decision-making out of his hands. He's done a great job making the Bears a relative destination, but he can't make player personnel decisions worth a damn. So get him out of the fucking front office and put him on top of that. Take Ted Phillips' position, Ryan. We don't need Ted Phillips. Keep you here. You know kind of what you're doing in a football sense, but not a personnel sense.
Yeah, that was a rant right there, guys. Jack had a lot to say on that.
There's so many people that think the Bears are like in this purgatory, and they're not. They have the opportunity in the players, in the core, to stay relevant. They do. They really do. It's just they need to make the right decisions, and they haven't. They didn't last year, I don't think, signing Trevathan. I didn't like that signing. And I really didn't like the Roquan signing when you pay two times – or not Robert Quinn, excuse me. You pay two times for Robert Quinn than Leonard Floyd did in L.A. And Leonard Floyd has more sacks than he had in his combined Chicago career this year in L.A. So that shows either it was a schematic problem for Floyd or he has actually grown into a good pass rusher because he's 28, 2 or 3 years younger than Quinn and making half and producing way more than him.
Right. Well, I think first off, going back to the game, and then I'll dive into my opinion on the Bears.
I'm so past that game. I'm just so past. Well, I don't even – that game was extracurricular for me. I didn't even care. I'm just glad we made it.
I know. Well, I knew we weren't going to win this game just because – I mean, one, if you just look at the culture, I mean, New Orleans can trust their quarterback to win them the game. I don't think most Bears fans had any trust in Mitch still. I think this was kind of Mitch has to go on a deep run or else we're done with him. So for him, it was basically a lot to gain, a lot to lose scenario. But my biggest issue with the game was time of possession. The New Orleans had 38 minutes with the ball. The Bears had 21 minutes and 2 seconds, barely touched the ball second half. And now, you know, my brother, I'll give him credit here. He ranted about it during the game and saying that the Bears didn't have a fair shot. I mean, in the second half, because the Bears, you know, they had 3 points in the first half with, you know, what happened. But in the second half, they really only had one or two real drives to work with. And the rest, the Saints were just running the clock, making plays and keeping their drive going. They did a really good job holding the ball. And that's where I have a problem with, you know, our defense held the Saints to 21 points. Okay. But if our defense was so elite, they would have shut this team down a little bit more and given our offense more time on the field. When it comes to where the Bears should be, I mean, at least Mitch got Nickelodeon player of the game. That was the best we could get out of him. And I'll give the NFL credit for trying to be innovative and, you know, working with the Nickelodeon game type of thing for kids. Kurt Warner tweeted something out about his special needs son, actually sitting down watching a football game with him for the first time and it being the Nickelodeon game. So I think that was,
well, I want to stop you right there on this Nickelodeon. Is it teaching kids the wrong thing for giving Mitch the Nickelodeon MVP when he was not great last night, but he had a vast majority of the vote? Does it teach the children of America today that it is okay to lose and get that reward? And, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that, yeah, it's, but like giving participation medals.
Right. But there have also been final, like, Jerry West was a finals MVP, but he lost the finals. But, like, the thing is with Nickelodeon, I think that was just more like, oh, these graphics are cool on a white Bears jersey, so we're going to vote him number one. Like, it was more, I think, for looks. I mean, let's be real. I think Mitch is a better looking guy than Drew Brees at this point. But
Drew Brees, this is going to be really shitty to say, but he's got like that weird birthmark on his forehead. It's just not good for marketing, man.
Yeah, exactly. So when you're Nickelodeon, I mean, normally they're used to drawing up their stars of their shows, but, you know, for this, they had a little to work with. But I thought for the growing of the game, I thought it was an innovative idea. I think anybody over 30, I think, hated the Nickelodeon game. But I think, and even younger than that, but I think for younger audience, it, you know, people tuned in and it bought advertising for the NFL, so they really can't complain. But going back to the game and to where I see the Bears, I mean, I think we're kind of in no man's land right now. We were on the brink of an elite defense and contending, and then we're on the brink of being obscure again for a couple years. I think the Bears' biggest issue is not getting a gunslinging quarterback and getting a guy like Mitch, who, let's be real, I mean, his confidence is pretty much shot at this point. I mean, you know, I still go back to last year when he won the TVs turned off in Hallis Hall. I mean, I just can't look past that still. But I think the biggest problem is Ryan Pace, just because he's made so many questionable decisions at this point where it's just like, you know, why does he keep his job? I mean, you know, we talk about Doug Peterson getting fired and, you know, this stuff. That's a guy where it's like, you know, it's a question of why is he getting fired, but it's only because of the other factors involved. If somebody said Ryan Pace is fired today, I'd be like, that makes perfect sense. I'd say that makes absolute perfect sense in terms of picking a quarterback, trading up for the quarterback, getting Khalil Mack. I thought, you know, at the time the Khalil Mack move was great, but, you know, if it didn't put us in Super Bowl contention, what was kind of the point of the move? I think it kind of wasted some years. It made the Bears interesting, got us some jersey sales, but when we didn't have a quarterback to help that defense out, that really set us back. I think it's kind of a partial rebuild mode where we keep the pieces, some of them that you talked about a little bit earlier, but for the most part, I think we get a new GM, we keep Nagy for a year, and we see what happens after that. I think if Matt Nagy gets a different quarterback, whether it's a rookie or whether it's a 7-year vet or whoever, even if it's like a Case Keenum for a year, to be honest, as a, you know, placeholder, because, like, let's be real, we have the 20th pick in the draft, I think, for this year. There's a lot of quarterbacks going into the draft, but let's be real, if we want a franchise guy, we need top 5, top 10. Like, you know, so we're kind of in obscure, you know, no man's land for that too. So it's going to be free agency, try to get a Case Keenum, try to get one of those guys, because, or, you know, if we were really desperate, get crippled Cam Newton for a year, like what the Patriots did.
No, never. I would never let that happen. I would literally drive up to Hallis Hall and personally, I would knock on Pace's door if he was still GM and say, Ryan, I'm going to call you Ryan right now because I need to level with you. You're acting stupid, very stupid. And I haven't said that since you drafted Mitchell. Stop. I would say that if he wanted Cam Newton on the roster. He had he had 10 picks to 5 passing touchdowns this year, man.
I'm not a big fan. But here's the thing. I look at the next 2 years as kind of irrelevant years for the Bears. I don't see, like, you know, you
well,
look
then
at
let's
it,
keep forward,
normally you look at an 8-8 season, you're optimistic and you hope you progress. I just see that this team's so stagnant with the contracts we have on the books, unless we trade, get rid of them any way we can. I think with the quarterback play, we don't have many good options unless we try to trade for a guy or, you know, like one guy I've thought about us trading for, but it would be the Bears sacrificing draft picks, is a guy like Jimmy G or somebody who is a step up from Mitch. I'm not a big Jimmy G guy, but I'm just looking at what's out there. You know, get a Matt Ryan. We can't get a Stafford because Stafford's literally within our division. But, you know, it's just one of those moments where it's just like, what can you do with this puzzle?
So I did a little soul searching when I realized we had the 20th pick, and the inner Madden franchise GM guru in me said, there's no way I want the Bears to take anyone at number 20. I don't. I want them to trade back. Because there is no way someone at number 20 is that drop dead good for the Bears right now that they need to take at 20. They need draft capital. I say they trade 20, go to like 28 or 29. I don't care. Pick up a second. So you have 2 seconds, a late first. You can see how the board, like the draft board
plays out,
develops, and then make your move. Like, I don't want them to take a quarterback because they feel like they need to in the first. I don't want that. I personally, if the board says don't do that, don't. Like, I don't want them to make that decision. So if they could like trade back and then receiver or tackle in the first, I'm all for that. 100%. If there's not a quarterback in the first round that like screams take me. But if you go into the second round and you have like a Mac Jones or a Kyle Trask available, shit. What's stopping you, man? Just take them, because we have Foles on contract still. Mitch is out the door. We don't need a guy that can come in and play right away, but we need to take a quarterback in those first 3 picks if we prospectively have 3 in the first 2 rounds. I want them to trade back.
I mean, the player I want us to get at the wide receiver is obviously the top guy, which is Devontae Smith. I think if he came to Chicago, it would just be absolutely electric, whether it was Nick Foles or whoever else. But I think trading back is great. I mean, I think we could even get a quarterback in the, you know, late first, second round that can kind of be one of those players where it's like, you know, we have 2 first rounders or we have 2 second rounders. You can take a chance on him. If it doesn't work out, you don't lose as much as you would with trading up. I think the dilemma here is just going to be, should, like, for me, it's just, I don't know how Pace keeps his job. It just doesn't make sense to me. I mean, you know, I've thought a lot about who would be a quarterback I wish the Bears could have for 2-3 years. And the guy that I think would be perfect for Chicago, because let's be real, we're the Bears. We won't have a star quarterback probably never in the next 10 years just because the Bears, and we never get to deserve a real star quarterback except Jay Cutler. But the guy that I think would be a great fit, even though he won't be available because he's with the team right now on a contract, is I think if we got a guy like Ryan Tannehill, where
throws
the
God.
Ball, makes plays, has a, like, if we had a real run game, that balances out. Why? What are you hating on Tannehill for?
I don't
now?
Hate Tannehill. Oh, I just, okay. I sit here and I think of like how great Ryan Tannehill would be.
He would be a perfect fit. But he would have been a perfect fit and replacement for Jay.
He would
I always
be.
Have said that. I wanted the Bears to go after Tannehill.
You take a look at Tannehill's contract and you realize how much you have to pay for a guy like that.
Yep.
And it's like the Bears have never done that because they've always put money into other positions.
Well, they put
that
money into Jay.
They never – okay, great. They also traded a boatload for Jay when he was young. So, like,
right.
They committed to Jay. And obviously the people have committed to Tannehill, but the Bears don't commit to quarterbacks. Like, they just don't. They commit money elsewhere to defense. That's what they always freaking do. Now
we're the monsters in the Midway.
And that's look, and that's how the Bears like cookie crumbles every year. That's the way we have to be as Bear fans. We have to say, all right, shit, it's the Bear way. We have to draft defense first over offense, whatever. Great.
This actually would have been a good question for our podcast that's coming out soon with Steve LaCroix, who is the former chief marketing officer of the Vikings, which is, how much does a team's brand impact personnel decisions?
Oh, and I guarantee it's a ton. Like, you look at Kansas City, okay, and they had a spell from like 2014, 2015 or so. Their receivers were like Dwayne Bowe, someone else, and they didn't record a single receiving touchdown from a receiver, period, that entire year. So you go from that to, I cannot take this phone call right now. You go from that to Alex Smith, and then you go from Alex Smith to Patrick Mahomes. You have completely flipped what your team was. You had Jamal Charles being the best, like, per average running back in the league, getting like 6 yards a carry. Then you're getting Patrick Mahomes, who's leading the league in passing yards per attempt. It's like the Chiefs have done a fantastic job at really doing what their fans wanted. Or you look at Seattle. I don't know what Seattle has always wanted to do, but once they had that Legion of Boom, you kind of realize like what that team is going to be known for. And then they drafted a guy like Russell Wilson, and you're like, okay, this team is good. Like, period. This team is solid. It's good going forward. And you look at the Bears and you just don't know. You just don't know. Hold on.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. I think the Bears are in a tough position. I think there's a lot of pressure among the fan base. And I think what's hard is you talk about Seattle with, you know, they went from Legion of Boom to loving Marshawn Lynch for a little bit. There was a period where he was kind of the focal point of the team. Then it kind of transitioned to Russell Wilson. Here are the keys. We're now a passing offense with you and DK Metcalf as our primary players.
See, like, but I wish the Bears would do something like that where they understand what
the
Bears
have, and then
they just, run with it, you know?
The thing with the Bears is they're the oldest franchise in the NFL. We got so lucky in the past with our defense, from Buckus to the 85 Bears defense with Singletary, with Fridge, with all those guys, to then transitioning to the Urlacher, Lance Briggs, Tillman era, where, let's be real, like, the 2018 Bears were the wannabe 06 Bears, 05, 06 Bears.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Like,
and I even said to myself, I said, could Mitch be Rex Grossman bad enough to get us to the bowl? And no, he was worse.
Well, let's be real, though, too. Mitch led us on in the one playoff game, he led us on a good drive setting up for a field goal. Where
Mitch did his job in that
Philly
game.
He did his job in that game.
Did his job.
And I believe, one thing I do believe here is I think Mitch's destiny as the Bears quarterback, if they won that game, would have been way different from a confidence perspective. I think if he wasn't coming back with the pressure of 12-14, we had to double doink, unfortunate, we got to get back to where we were and make up for that. And then things snowballed that quickly on him. I think if he would have had a playoff game under his belt, there would have been a little bit more trust and a little bit more confidence, because he was, to me, I'm trying to think of like a sports team. The first thing that comes to mind is like the Bartman of the Bears, just because the second
it was a low-hanging fruit that people
and the person that really hasn't had the blame is Ryan Pace, where he was the one who made all the mistakes.
Or even Matt Nagy for being brought in to be an offensive guru, and you score 3 points. I'll call it 3 points in a playoff game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's,
and handing over offensive play calling duties.
Right. So when you got a lot of bonehead decisions, you kind of sit there and scratch your head and say, where the fuck are we gonna go, man? Because we have absolutely no direction right now. None. We have been sitting in this state for too long. Now, the only silver lining I'll say is, like I alluded to earlier, Cole Kmet, 21, Darnell Mooney, 21, Roquan, like 24. Yeah. We got a bunch of young guys who are actually decent. I'll go back to your Mitch thing saying you wish we would have won. I'm glad we didn't, because if we had won, we'd be sitting in this position right now with that deep 20 whatever run, 18. We're like, shit, look what Mitch did for us once. Like,
true.
We got to re-sign him and bring him back and do it all over again. Then we'd really be fucking caught. We'd be
true,
really
he would have gotten that option picked up.
We'd be really stuck. Yeah, exactly. He would have had it picked up, and we wouldn't be having this discussion about a quarterback in the draft, which we should be every year as a Bears fan. Yeah. We'd be stuck with 25th, 30th ranked Mitch. And I'm happy. A lot of fans are like starting to transition out of that phase. There was a phase that people had.
I mean, it happened this season too. It's like just happening like now. Like my brother, like he always said, don't blame Mitch, all this stuff, even though sometimes he would kind of rag on him, but you know, would wear his Mitch jersey with pride and all this stuff. And I'm just like, come on. I'm like, Mitch isn't our guy. And it cracks me up because everybody hated on Jay Cutler saying he's so awful, you know, this and that. Every Bears fan would take him back now in a heartbeat. Every Bears fan. Because at least with Jay, you knew he had the talent to win a game. He might not, you know, I'll give some of the haters, he might not have the personality to win a game and to be a leader, but he had the talent. He had the raw talent. And the thing I miss is like when we were down, you know, when we're down in this game, I didn't feel like Mitch could be that guy to just sling the ball down the field and get us a touchdown, you know, and just lead us down. And that's what we need. Like, I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Nick Foles. Honestly, I have more trust in Nick Foles than I do in Mitch in leading us in a fourth quarter drive. And I honestly was kind of shocked that Matt Nagy didn't ever bring him in to shake things up. And I think, you know, and the biggest part of it, though, too, to be fair, it was the possession thing. Like, the Bears never got to touch the football, really, on the, you know, on the offensive side in the second half for most of the game. But at the same time, like, when things dry up in a playoff game, if you're really trying to win the game, you put the second guy in. You put the relief pitcher in.
I tweeted, or I might have texted in my Twitter group chat yesterday, and I literally said, I was like, where's Foles? Like, where is he? If you're 0 for 10 on third down and you can't stretch the field, and you got to run play action, do anything, and Mitch is crumbling in the pocket because – and don't even get me started with that fourth down where he didn't reach for it. You're in a playoff game. This isn't Atlanta. This isn't week 3. This is week 19, like 18. We are in the nitty-gritty winner go home. The toughest thing in the NFL is to make the playoffs. And – it doesn't feel like you're saying, I want to win it. I want to win it all. I want the best chance for this team, when you did that already earlier in the year. You pulled Mitch because the offense didn't look great. You put in Foles. He got a comeback win, whatever. Obviously, they went on that losing streak. They played really good teams. They had a really bad O-line, a lot of factors. But point being, if you can't stretch a defense that's playing up on you against Mitch Trubisky, and he has 19 completions for only 190 yards, like, you need something, man. You haven't had anything going. You can't run the ball. So what do you have to do? You have to throw the ball. Well, we've all agreed Mitch can't throw the ball, play quarterback. He can play mobile quarterback. So I was a little upset.
Yeah. And the thing I think about too is just like, the, you know, people were so pumped about how the Bears were completing third down attempts and were very efficient the last few games on third down, minus the Green Bay game, but Jaguars, Vikings, like the Vikings game, they were able to complete like 6 out of 12 third down attempts. But people kept forgetting, in the height of the 41-17 Jaguars win, they're the Jaguars. Like, they're not a good team. And everybody was like, the Bears are a playoff team. All these Bears fans, we're a playoff team. I'm like, we played the Vikings, we played the Jaguars, and I forgot the third team we played in that run where Mitch was winning games. But
the Texans.
Yeah, the Texans.
The Texans that had J.J. Watt call him out for not being professionals.
Right, right.
That Texans. The right. Texans that Deshaun Watson's asking to leave.
Yeah, for them paying – the Texans paid hundreds of thousands of dollars for a search firm to hire a GM for the team. And instead of following one of their recommendations, they're like, oh, we're going to hire the guy we considered 2 years ago. You know what? Forget all the money we paid you. Forget all the work you did. Go enjoy it. Go take a vacation. Thanks for the recommendations, but no thanks.
And it's just crazy because like I read articles that said, and I was like, I remember in my head saying, the Texans are doing the right thing, hiring this outside firm to help them in this GM search. But they also said they were including Watson in the search. And I go, great. This guy's making enough money to where he should have a say, like a Mahomes, like LeBron does. Somebody who's you're building around, he should have a say. And Watson said, interview Eric Bieniemy, offensive coordinator from the Chiefs. They never interviewed Bieniemy.
Yeah,
they never interviewed anybody. The guy from the Steelers, Khan, he was in their front office. He was supposed to get hired. Never interviewed him. They hired some other guy, Cesario, or I don't even know what his name is.
No, him. And then they considered Louis Riddick, too. He was one of the other candidates the search firm recommended.
Yeah. And you're like, dude, if your quarterback, the quarterback that you've paid hundreds of millions for, that people are saying is one of the better picks from that draft because you couldn't get Mahomes, like –
And you couldn't get Mitch.
Well, point being, you made the right move. You got the toughest piece to get in football, and now you found a way to allow him to out-leverage you and ask for a trade. He has all of the leverage in the world now, and he's picking where he's going.
I don't think the Bears have any shot, but if they do, if they did, if we were able to land Watson, it would be at an extreme cost. And I don't know if it's a cost that would make up for the mistake of not drafting him.
You would have to give up Khalil.
Well, you know what, though? I would be open to getting rid of Khalil. I would,
too. You have to at this point.
Is I'd rather build around Roquan, draft another young guy with him, and have that, you know, be like the Lance Briggs or Urlacher of the Bears.
I think, and this is like my own objective opinion, is I don't know if pass rush in the NFL is as critical as people make it out to be. I think offenses are so fast and dynamic that they're finding plenty of ways around
I think the pressures are D-line. Actually still super valuable.
I think,
like, when you look at a guy like Aaron Donald collapse the pocket.
Donald is a generational talent that'll go down as the greatest defensive lineman in history, and I'll put my money on that. But when you have a secondary that can blanket somebody, I think a coverage sack is better than a rush sack, because coverage sacks never fail. You never fail when your coverage is good. You need to sync your rush with your coverage. And if they're not on the same page, one of them looks bad. But if your pass coverage is always tight, always good, you don't need a sick pass rush, because they'll get there eventually. You can't expect offensive linemen to go backwards and catch full-fledged athletes and to stop them every time. It doesn't happen. There needs to be better coverage. And the Bears just, they schematically don't look like they have the same pizzazz. And Vic Fangio took a lot of emphasis on, like, blitzing multiple people.
Yeah.
And that succeeded. That allowed teams to make mistakes and then allow for the Bears to pounce on it. They didn't have great, like, coverage. They would bust their coverage and make plays. But what Pagano does is, like, he relies solely on a soft concept where we will bend the whole way but not break into the red zone. And that puts a lot of emphasis on winning one-on-one pass rushes, and you can't do that every time. Like, Khalil Mack this season had the
same – he didn't get a sack last in the playoff game.
He had the same amount of QB hits as Bolio Nichols, who played nickel – or nose, excuse me. He played nose tackle. He played zero, okay? Nichols had the same amount of QB hits as Khalil Mack. Now, granted, Nichols had four less sacks, but that's because Khalil Mack is a world-class pass rusher. Like, he is supposed to have – at least 10 sacks, and he only had 9 this year. So the fact that, like, Pagano's entire scheme of, like, generating these one-on-ones and getting people opportunities to make the play, it didn't work. So where do you pivot to next? You can't bring in another pass rusher, because that's what they already did with Quinn. And you can't keep drafting them, because then it looks like overkill. So I almost think they have to, like, flip the defense and say we're going to go, like, almost like a Green Bay route. Like, Green Bay is very stout defensively in the back end. They got Savage and Amos, Jair Alexander and Josh Jackson, Kevin King. Like, they're a corner away from being really locked down, but Their front seven is nothing compared to the Bears, but they don't need it to be because they're outscoring everybody, and then they're forcing you to pass into them.
Well, that's the benefit of having a franchise QB and Aaron Rodgers.
Exactly. And that's where the Bears need to find out who are we and how are we going to try to play these games.
Now, one final question on the Bears talk, and then let's jump into national championship predictions and wrap this quick pod up. My question for you is, who won the Mac trade? Because if you look at what the Raiders got now, the Raiders are building something, in my opinion. I still think John Gruden's overpaid, overrated, all that stuff. But when you look at Josh Jacobs, who I love, is a fantasy monster. You got Abram, the corner safety. I forgot what – I think corner. Who I love. I love his intensity. I love his aggression. I love everything he does. I think he's going to be a Pro Bowl player in those draft picks. And they got the salary cap relief where, you know, they have a lot of flexibility there. The Bears weren't a part of this part of the trade, but, you know, they signed Darren Waller, who's now one of the best tight ends in the league. Like, who do you think won when the Bears, they did make the playoffs that 12-4 season? They went 8-8 last year, and they were able to make the playoffs because the wild card was expanded. So really, we should only have one playoff appearance in the Mac era. Who do you think won?
I really do still think the Bears did, in sole reason because the Raiders still do not have a pass rush. Like, they took the number three pick and took Clown Farrell, who is flopped. The best player they have on their D-line is Max Crosby, who's like a fourth round pick from like Eastern Michigan or something.
Don't they also have the guy from the Bears?
They signed Nick Kwiatkowski, the middle linebacker, to essentially the same deal as Trevathan got. Yeah. So that is a talent evaluation that might have gone wrong in Pace's opinion, that he paid Danny instead of Nick, whatever.
He was paying Danny for years of service, more or less, in my opinion.
And I think I do still think, like, the biggest problem with the Raiders is their defense. Their defense sucks. Their offense is great. Like, Gruden's known for running the ball and caring about scoring, and he made some questionable calls at the tail end of their season. But I do still think the Bears win because they have the ability to, yes, they signed Khalil Mack to this big extension, but they're at the point in this deal where they're able to move him and get some fine compensation for it when this team needs an influx of like draft capital. They don't have enough young players on the team. They've been mortgaging the future for the present for too long. And I think like at this point, you can't, I personally don't think you can give a grade on the trade until they trade Mac again, because then you fully see the value of what this trade was. Mac will definitely get a great return. He's a world-class pass rusher, like I said. The guy won't get anything less than a first and change. So you're going to get something for Khalil Mack. It's just, who's going to want to pay for $25 million a year for a pass rusher who hasn't been showing up consistently? And nobody – I'm sure people in the league know, but fans don't know if this is a schematic or a regression issue. And I think we'll see what the organization thinks it is in this offseason with a lot of the moves they make. I'm curious to see what they think if the defense was regression or schematic issue. I personally think it's both, but they got a lot of issues to fix. And I do think the Khalil Mack trade has done wonders for the Bears, especially making them relevant again. I mean, if we just take a step back and like, yeah, you did allude on the fact that they sold a lot of jerseys and marketing wise, it was great. But those, like, in 2018, those first 4 weeks that Khalil Mack was here.
Oh, were major.
Were like Hall of Fame worthy. Yeah. Like, people.
That Packer game.
People bought in to how legit the Bears were in those first 4 weeks that like made the Bears a nationally relevant team. And I don't think that happens without Khalil Mack. So I'll give him that. He made them nationally relevant with that like four week period where it was like the Packers, the Seahawks, someone else, and he just fucking flattened everybody. But ever since, he really has been underwhelming. So
yeah, I agree. I think with the Bears and the Raiders deal. I think the Bears only win it if they get a first rounder or a good prospect player for Mac.
I think they will in the end. I don't think you get any players for him, but I think you'll get a first for him. First and change.
So now jumping in national championship talk tonight. Obviously when this will be posted, the results will probably be out, but I'll give my little opinion on it first. I want Ohio State to win because I want to see a Big Ten team win it. I got to root for the Big Ten, and it's the one time I ever root for Ohio State would be for in this scenario. But you look at Alabama. So Mac Jones has 36 passing touchdowns on 4 interceptions. Then you have a running back, Harris, who has 24 touchdowns on the season. And then you have Devontae Smith, Heisman Trophy winner, 1,600 yards with 20 touchdowns. To me, you have the Julio Jones, Derrick Henry, and, you know, a quarterback who knows, you know, how to, you know, how to make
AJ McCarron of Alabama. AJ McCarron, yeah. He knows how to play football.
Yeah. I didn't want to offend him with that, but yeah, AJ McCarron. And it doesn't help that he wears 10 as well. But now the question is, will Mac Jones's girlfriend be spotlighted on the game?
Yes. Okay. But I also think if we're going to highlight Mac Jones's girlfriend, we should also highlight the fact that he was arrested for a DUI 2 years ago. So let's play both sides of the ball here. Media. Like fair. Mac Jones fair. Is a shithead. But he might still have a hot Alabama girlfriend. So
then looking at the team, I mean, Ohio State by 7 yards has allowed more yards on defense than Alabama. And they've had Ohio State's offense looks like it's had more total yards with 544 to 535. But keep in mind, Alabama was in the SEC and they played a lot more games than Ohio State. And the only real team Ohio State played was Indiana. And I barely call them a legit team. So when it comes down to it, I love Justin Fields. I think he's a phenomenal player. I always found it funny that, you know, Georgia even stuck with Fromm and let Fields leave. Cause I thought Fromm was the classic Georgia quarterback, but Fields was the dynamic player they needed to win a national title there. And I think that window closed on them. I don't think, you know, Daniels or any of those guys can really bring it for him, but I think Ohio State's gonna in the first half show a good fight. But I think the final score is going to be like 45 to 21. Alabama.
I have my Alabama winning 49 to 42. I watched that Ohio State game, and I watched it on ESPN2. I watched it without any of the commentary, and they had it on the like all 22 tight view from behind. Nice. You didn't get any commentary. All you did was just watch the game and just listen to it and just listen to the crowd and everything going on. And Ohio State beat the fuck out of Clemson, like beat the shit out of them. They did. Straight up and down the field, beat them down. Now, Clemson also lost to Notre Dame, and Notre Dame did not look like Notre Dame's a great team, but there is a gap at wide receiver and cornerback between Notre Dame and the Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson's. Clemson lost to Ohio State because they straight up were physically not there. Their O-line and D-line just did not get it done. So tonight, it really comes down to if Ohio State's offense can keep pace, because they kept pace against Clemson. They were throwing the ball all over the field. This Alabama defense is not convincingly great. They're always good, but they're not great. So it's going to be high scoring. It's going to be who flinches first and misses a drive that really takes a step in winning and getting a chance to win. But you got Fields, you got Master Teague, and you got Trey Sermon. You always recruit good receivers. Ohio State's never out of it. Like, they always have the players, the coaching. They're right there, man.
I agree.
Can you stop Smith, Jones, Harris? And I don't know if you can, because there's no one that will be.
Clemson game really threw me off, because I honestly, then going into the game, I was like, Ohio State has a real shot, and that's what I was thinking most of the week. But you look at what's happened with them with COVID, where they haven't been able to practice like they should be. They've had people in and out. I think when you have a wide receiver who is so dominant, he's unbelievable to watch, and he scored 20 touchdowns in a season where he literally just looks like a 5-year NFL vet playing with, you know, little leaguers, basically, to me. That's what it looks like when watching him. Harris literally looks like he can run through a brick wall. Like, he is just so dynamic. I'm just like, how can you have two guys that are so unbelievable, you know, where they're going to, like, Derrick Henry, I knew going into the NFL, he was going to be amazing. I just knew it. Just his build, his speed, the way he plays. It's just, you don't have many of those guys left in the NFL where they're just big and fast. And so guy like Harris, I just think, you know, they're basically a whole NFL team in themselves scoring wise. And I just don't think Ohio State can keep up with that. Cause I think a thing that hurt, you know, Ohio State, they played Clemson, they beat Clemson, but other than that, they didn't really play anybody, to be fair. And no offense to the Big Ten, cause I love the Big Ten. I personally still believe we're the best conference, but who have they played on defense that matches up to Harris and Smith?
The only
no one they play Trevor Lawrence. That's fair. They played a legit quarterback, but you know,
the only thing Travis that's gonna stop them is their D line. Like, yeah, that D line dominated Clemson, and Alabama's O line won O line of the year. They have Leatherwood that won the Outland best lineman of the year. They have the best center of the year. Yeah, that's what I was gonna
say too. Is Alabama got those? They stole them from Iowa.
Yeah. Then yeah. Don't even get me fucking started on the outline in the fucking Remington. The fact that Nixon and Linderbaum got gypped.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Anyway, it really does come down to, like, as fun as, like, it is for an O-lineman to say, it comes down to the trenches. And I think if Ohio State can get some movement and punch Alabama in the mouth, maybe they'll have a chance. But it doesn't stop the fact that they have Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, Najee Harris. Like, it's going to be a tall order for them. Tall order.
Yeah, well, Jack, I think we can wrap it up here. We did a good little recap, and I'm sure we'll talk about the national championship.
We'll get this out. We'll get this out. This will be out Tuesday. We'll get this out Tuesday, okay. And then we'll have another episode out Thursday, and then we'll have a. Well, guys, we're just gonna fucking fill you up this week. Don't you worry. We've been staying busy, so you'll hear this Tuesday. You'll hear another one Thursday, and then keep your eyes peeled for the weekend. As always, if you guys haven't, go ahead and download Good Pods and check out what Sam and I are listening to, as well as what your friends might be listening to. I've been kind of stagnant on podcasts, so I'm dying for a recommendation. As always, not the same time, same place. We will see you guys later.